A good Rosh Chodesh, everyone. Today is the second day of Rosh Chodesh, February 11th. It's Rosh Chodesh Adar, I should say. The second day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, Toshin Ein Gimel. We are going to start today Megillas Esther. Now, I just want to say in words of introduction, it's very appropriate to learn Megillas Esther today, to start it. And the truth is, Megillas Esther is the story of our existence, Klal Yisrael, in Golus. And as we learn, we'll elaborate on that statement that Megillas Esther is our existence, it shows our existence, how we can survive through this Golus. Let's begin. Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh, hamoylech mihoidu v'ad kush. Sheva v'esru mea medina. Now we know the Gemara Megillah, which you've learned with Rabbi K, mentions the words Vayhi bimei. And then when these words are put together, it tells us of a tragedy, of a negative thing. Let's first take a look at Rashi. I believe you have Rashi in the bottom of the page over there. Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. Melech pras haya. He is the Persian king. Shemolach tachas Kairosh, he ruled after Kairosh. L'soif shivim shana shal Golus Bavel. After the 70 years of Golus Bavel, towards the end of the time, we all know the history. They made a calculation and they figured that it was supposed to be for 70 years, the Golus. Math is not my specialty, I'll tell you this much. Basic arithmetic, this much I, Baruch Hashem, usually am able to get. Now, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated everything, and this is, if I may suggest, one of the first, even before we even say anything yet, one of the first signs of Hashkacha Pratis. And this is the theme throughout the whole Megillah, and this is the theme throughout all of our lives. And they made a calculation, a mistake, and they figured 70 years came and passed and is up, and Hashem is not going to redeem Klal Yisrael. And this is the time period of when we're talking about, before Bayis Sheni. Now, I want to share with you, what does it mean that this Megillas Esther is the antidote of how we survive throughout the Golus? Because we will see the Yad Hashem, we will see Hashem's hand throughout Megillah, even though there's not one mention of Hashem's name. I'll share with you a quick little story, and because this story is the key. Not only this story, but all these little stories. And I do want to encourage, first of all, if anybody has any Hashkacha Prata stories, to please email them to me. And they'll possibly put them in the newsletter, the Devaritoa newsletter. Yesterday, my wife is in Lakewood with our children. She had all the four boys. She had all three girls with her. All the children with her at one time. She has to get my daughter some fabric for one of her skirts to make it a little longer because it wasn't long enough, it wasn't sneastic. She looked around in Philadelphia, nothing available. She looks around in Lakewood, they tell her there's only one store that will have that same type of material that you can make the skirt a little longer. Where's the store? Oh, here it is, it closes at 5 o'clock. 5:04, my wife enters the store. The lady says, sorry, I'm sorry to tell you, we close 5 o'clock. My wife says, excuse me, I just came with all my children. I came from Philadelphia. You're the only store in Lakewood that has this material. The lady behind the counter says, Mrs. Greenspan, for you, anything. Now, my wife doesn't walk around with a name tag on her shirt. Who is this? This is an old neighbor of ours from 8 years ago that used to come to our house and watch these little children that are now grown up. She is working behind the counter, and she recognized my wife right away. It just, she says to Mrs. Greenspan, for you anything. Now, someone else could have said, I understand your difficulty. We close at 5 o'clock. It's 5:04. Who's right, who's wrong? That's not the point. These are little drops in the bucket of Yad Hashem. If I can ask a statistician to take the statistics and figure out what is the chances of that person working behind the counter. Quite few, quite slim. This is Hashgacha. No, no, it's not a major story. Nothing major. What we have to see is the Yad Hashem in our everyday life, and the Megillah Esther, the Megillah Esther, teaches us this lesson. Now, this next Rashi is a very extremely important Rashi. Every Rashi is important. Why is this Rashi important? This next one, he says, "Who Achashverosh? Who is this Achashverosh? Who Berishoy Mitchilosei VaAtzoyfoy? He is this Achashverosh, who is a wicked, evil man from beginning to end. We grow up and we are educated that Haman is the evil man, Mordechai is the tzaddik, and Achashverosh is the tippish, he's the fool. That's how we grow up. And we even look at the pictures that they draw. No one knows what they look like. But you see, this Achashverosh is a tippish. That's what they draw. And Haman looks like this evil, wicked man. For all we know, they looked a different the other way around. We have no idea what they look like. Rashi, with the ene of Chazal, with the eyes through a Chazal, where Rashi is coming from, Rashi is telling us that's incorrect. Achashverosh was a Rasha. A Rasha Merusha. He couldn't stand the Jewish people. And when Haman comes along and says to him, I have an idea, he jumps at the opportunity.
Certainly the phrase, it sounds repetitious, and it's not there to teach us something. It's not a usual stone. You know, it's Rashi, following Chazal, it's darshening the Yitzhar Halashin.
The extra word, why are we saying... Right. Well, we just said, very good. So Neil pointed out, Vahibi Me'achashverosh, we just said, this is the days of Achashverosh, the time period, the history. What is that to say after it's who Achashverosh? So Neil just explained the who is referring to because he's this Rasha from beginning to end. Now, the Gra, the Vilna Goin, tells us because there was a second B'nei Shehoya Achashverosh Acher. I'm reading now from the Perusha Gra. The Vilna Goin tells us, which you don't have in front of you, but I'll just share with you, that there was a different Achashverosh. So he tells us the Grom Neshay Achashverosh Acher Bu Avi Dar Yovesh Hamadai Harishon. This is the father of Dar Yovesh Hamadai from the Midianite, the Madai Harishon, the first one, as it says in Daniel Bishnas Achas Dar Yovesh Ben Achashverosh Mizer Madai. And he was also a Melech. Because Kiloyolam Hayamalchi Madai, this is the lineage of the Malchi Madai in Pras and the Persians and the Madai. Okay. And we know he ruled over the whole entire world, 127 provinces at that time. I just want to share with you, I don't have in front of me, I just remember seeing a pshat once. Achashverosh, what's his name, Achashverosh? What kind of name is this? You ever heard this name before? I mean, until Megillas Esther comes around, I never heard this name before. So, the Mefarshim tell us that he had a very hot temper. He was very hot tempered. And he would say to the people, off with their head. Achash ve'rosh. Rosh is the head. People who would be around him would be concerned for their rosh. That he would say, cut it off. This is one of the understandings, the interpretations of Achashverosh. So we know he was the Molech Mehodu Vad Kush. Continues. Sheva Esu Umeya Medina. What took place? Now, I just want to share with you another Vilna Gaon. When he says Sheva Esu Umeya, we have 127 countries. The Medrash tells us, 100 of them were on the dry land, on the Yabasha. The Sheva Ve'esrim Alayam, and there were 27 islands. As we'll see later on, all the way at the end of the Megillah, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph. When it says, Ve'yasim ha-melech Achashverosh mos ala aretz ve'iye hayom. And if you take a look at the words Mos Ala Oritz, you have the gematria of Mem and Samech is, Mem is 40, Samech is 60, that's 100. So he said he had 100 provinces on the land, so Achashverosh put a Mos is a tax. He taxed the land with the word Mos. The Ea, Vav is 6, Aleph is 7, Yud is 27. The Ea Hayom. And 27 provinces, That's referring to the 127 that Ahasuerus was in charge of. So we see at the end of the Megillah, Ari, you see that? See how that... By Yom Pasuk Beis, by Yom Mahim, wasn't those days, Kishevas HaMelech Ahasuerus Al Kisei Malchusoi Asher B'Shushan HaBiro. When, during those days, when the king was sitting, HaMelech Ahasuerus Al Kisei Malchusoi, on the chair of his Malchusoi, of his throne, of his dynasty, of his kingdom, Asher B'Shushan HaBiro, which is in Shushan HaBiro. We're going to read one more Pasuk and then explain, according to the Vilna Gaon, what is really going on in the depths of this Pasuk. B'shinas Sholosh L'Molchoi, the third year of his Malchus, of his reign, also Mishta, he made a party, L'chol Sorov V'Avodov, for all of his officers and his servants, Chil, Horas, Omodai, Ha'apartimim, Besori Hamedinos L'Fanov. He made a big party. What was the purpose of this party? In Pasuk Dalet, he tells us the purpose. Bahar oisoi es oisher kavoid malchusoi, to show his wealth, his oisher, his wealth, kavoid malchusoi, the honor of his malchus, vesikar tiferes gedulosoi, and the precious tiferes glory of his greatness. Yomim rabim, this party was for many days. How many days was this party? Shmoinim umas yoim, 180 days. I think school has to be 480 days, right? Doesn't that in Pennsylvania? Many, man, right. So imagine you have 180 days instead of going to school, and you're going to a party. Now, I know the children were like this. I know children in this neighborhood are very upset because although it's snowing on Shabbos. And they're not missing any school. And up a little north, they have Lakewood and New York, and go to Boston, they have a lot of snow, and they're missing school sometimes. Okay, now, let's understand the depths of these psukim here. By Yom Ha'im, Pasuk Beis, Kishevas HaMelech Ahasuerus Al Kisei Malchusoi. When this king, Ahasuerus, was sitting Al Kisei Malchusoi, which was in Shushan HaBiro. Now, I have a question to ask you. Biro is the capital. So, it's like the question, what color was George Washington's white horse? Well, everybody's like, okay, you can't give me that one, right? It was white horse. Now, I'll ask a question here. What was the capital?
Not Shushan.
Well, but it says Shushan HaBiro.
It's
transferred.
They had to get, as the Sharks said, they had two capitals. Persepolis was one. One was like the winter capital, the summer capital. Only two notes. There were, Persian Empire had two capitals.
I'm not familiar with the name Persepolis, but.
No, the ruins are there. Monumental ruins are there. Columns, it was a major civilization.
So I'll tell you what the Gra tells us, as everyone's saying correctly, that really, I'm not sure if it's pronounced Elam or Elam, but Elam, it was the capital of this Ahasuerus's Malchus. So how come the Megillah has over here B'Shushan HaBiro? The story is as follows. You know the history?
I think because of Shlomo.
Let's give a little of background, the history over here. Ahasuerus was not from royal dynasty. He didn't have royal blood. He married into the Malchus. He married Vashti. Vashti is a granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. Ahasuerus was a very low ego, a very low self-esteem, and he had to build himself up. So what did he do? He decided to sit on the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, but he didn't actually want to sit on the actual throne because he knew the history books, this much he paid attention in class, that Paro Nechei means the lame, he was walking up towards the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, and the lion statue moved and slammed him in the foot and crippled him. And he was lame. So he figured, I'm not going to go try and sit on that throne. What did he do? He had his architects and his craftsmen and the carpenters, they built for him a replica of this Shlomo HaMelech's throne. And it was a magnificent throne. And it was finished in Shushan. And then they said, okay, let's pick it up and move it to the capital, to Elam. But they couldn't move it. They couldn't get a forklift big enough to move it. Now, the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, how were they able to move that one? Because there's a halacha. There's a halacha in Shabbos, in Hilchos Shabbos. You cannot carry, without an Eruv, you can't carry. Midoraisa, you can't carry a child, a person. Now, what about the person could carry themselves? If that person could carry themselves, it's called chai nosis atzmo. That a person who is chai, is alive, is nosis atzmo, is carrying himself. So it's not really a deraisa because they're carrying themselves. We're not getting into all the halachas of Shabbos now. The throne of Shlomo Melech was alive. It was chai. It was able to be picked up. But not the throne, but he couldn't sit on it. But this throne that he made could not be picked up. So he decided that the whole... Imagine this, you hear that instead of Washington, D.C. being the capital, you know, it's a little warm in Arizona, so during the cold season you go to Arizona or Florida. There's a new capital. Why? Because somebody wanted to sit on the throne, on that seat where Lincoln is. What's it called? Lincoln Monument, right? So, Memorial, right. So all of a sudden it's changed. Like, you think, that's a little crazy. But he had to build himself up. So he had to sit on this choshev-looking throne. That's why it's B'shushan Abira. Akisi Malchus B'shushan Abira. Now, keep this in mind, the fact that Ahasuerush had to constantly, in the back of his mind, build himself up to show everyone he is a real melech. Because that's going to be the downfall of Vashti, that mindset. We said, Bishnas Sholosh L'molchai, in Pasuk Gimel, the third year of his reign, he made a mishteh, L'chol Sarav Avodav. Why did he make this mishteh? Well, like we just said, he made this mishteh to show everybody, look how wealthy I am. Look at all this power I have. He wanted to impress them.
But now, wasn't it also that he calculated the 70 years, and he said, the Jews have not been liberated, we're making a party, that God deserted them.
Right, so that's why he made it specifically during this time period. The third year, Shalosh L'malcha. But why did he have to make it a party in the first place? You ever hear, Bill Gates, whoever it is, they have a lot of money. You ever hear they made a party to show everybody how wealthy they are? You know, I'm not here to praise anybody else, but you only have to show off something if inside the person does not have any chashivas. There's not any self-worth. That's why a person has to show off. So he didn't have any self-worth, so he has to show off, look what I have. Now, the Vilna Gaon says to us over here on this pasuk, it tells us a medrash. A mashal, rather. A mashal with a ben yachid. This is the mashal of the Purim story on this pasuk right here. There was a king who had a son, and the king's officers, his generals, were very jealous of the prince. Because they knew that the king had tremendous love and he's next in line. And they figured this little boy, this teenager, this 20-year-old, whoever it was, he's not better than us just because he's the king's son. Years passed as this child was growing up and he misbehaved. And then king had to teach his son a lesson. And he banished him from the palace. And the son figured that the father doesn't love him anymore, and the father cut him off from everything and forgot about him. However, the father never forgot about his son, who he loved, and he still loves. And he was concerned that his son, who was only familiar with the palace, is going to be out there in the dangerous forest, and there are wild animals, there are predators, people who might want to harm him and hurt him and perhaps kill him. So what did he do? He told his loyal servants, go out there to the forest and disguise yourself. And if you see my son in danger, protect him. This is your job. So that's what they did. They took off the royal clothing from the king's army. They went out there. They put on their Tarzan uniform, getting ready for Purim. Went to the costume store, and they're out there. And all of a sudden, a bear comes charging at his son, and the prince, doesn't have any weapons, and he thinks his life is over, and before you know it, out of nowhere, an arrow comes right into this bear. The person comes down, dressed as Robin Hood, right? He went to the costume store, And the prince thanks him. You saved my life. Who is this person? A stranger, right? Just out of nowhere. A couple days pass. A lion comes. And once again, the same scenario. Another person comes out from the middle of nowhere in the jungle, in this forest. And he protects the prince and he kills the lion. Because he's watching, so he sees he's always a step ahead. And then we didn't forget about these people, the jealous people of the prince who didn't like the prince. And they also try to kill the prince. And again, a third time, and the fourth time, finally the prince says, wait a minute. One time, a second time, the bear, the lion, this person, that. What's going on over here? And he pulls out his piece of paper, and takes a pencil, and he starts doing his math work, and he realizes, these are not by chance. These are my father's men. These are my father's men. My father never forgot about me. My father loves me, and he's protecting me. That's the mashal. Says the Gra, what's the nimshal? The nimshal is that this pasuk is telling us about the suda that Achashverosh made. And a major mistake which takes place is that people think that why is there a tzara? Why is there a tzara that takes place? There's a tzara that happens because of the bad, evil, wicked man. The tzara takes place because of Klai Yisrael's averus. This is a very, very important lesson Megillah is teaching us. We went to the Suda, and we should not have gone to the Suda. And years earlier, 60-somewhat years earlier, we bowed down to the idol, if it was an idol, during the days of Nebuchadnezzar. And these were the two chatoim where Hashem said, now the bear is going to come, now the lion is going to come, now the Haman is going to come, now the Achashverosh is going to come. And we think maybe our father Hashem has left us. And we live in the same generation, same situation right now, where we know there's this Ahmadinejad, Yimach Shemo, and there are other Rishayim out there who have one goal in mind. It's to eradicate, and Rav Joel is in Eretz Yisrael now, and we all know the tension and the stress that's going on the level in Eretz Yisrael with the possible, I don't even say the words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. And Megillas Esther is telling us how to survive. Because the history repeats itself. And the same way that we had the Rishoyim back then and we were able to be successful, but we have to realize there was a danger. So too, we have the danger today, and we'll, through learning through this, we have to remind ourselves that just like in the Mashal, he came back, the son came back and did tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to this father, the Melech, so too, we have to do that tshuva of a kiblu aleim as a Torah ba'ava rabba. They re-accepted the kiblu v'kiblu, as it says in the Megillah, they re-accepted the Torah, explains the Gra, and this is the beginning of the message of Megillah Esther. We'll stop here for today.